Welcome to episode 14 of the Piano Fortissimo podcast. I'm Aleksandra Silocza, and today I'm honored to have Eren Yagmuroglu as my guest. Eren is a strategic advisor renowned for his work in creating, leading, and driving organizations, brands, and societies across various industries, including performing arts, technology, and retail. His expertise in community management has led to significant industry achievements, providing practical examples of effective community engagement. A member of esteemed institutions like the Recording Academy Grammy Awards since 2015 and the International Academy of Digital Arts and Sciences since 2020, Eren has played a pivotal role in transforming both the music industry and the digital realm. He actively contributes to the Harvard Business School Online Istanbul chapter and has been involved with the Harvard Business School online community since 2016. In 2019, he served as a guest lecturer at Columbia University in New York, sharing his insights with students worldwide. Eren has made significant contributions to renowned artists and organizations, including serving as community and productions manager for Fazil Say since 2011 and as brand manager for Still Art since 2016. In this episode, we'll delve into Eren's journey, exploring how he leverages his diverse experiences to foster innovation, drive growth, and shape the cultural landscape. As for me, Eren is a magician, a mentor, and a driving force behind the motto, think big, be kind, be empathetic, and act with your heart. Welcome to Piano Fortissimo, the podcast where the world of classical music meets personal stories and professional insights. I'm your host, Aleksandra Silocza, concert pianist and Bösendorfer artist for over two decades. Join me as we explore the intricacies of music careers, the artistry behind pianos and other instruments, dive deep with special guests from all corners of the arts, and uncover the nuances of cultural and self-management. Whether you're an aspiring musician, a performer, or simply a music lover, this podcast offers something for everyone. Eren, I'm absolutely delighted to have you on the Piano Fortissimo podcast today.
Hi, Aleksandra. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. It's truly a pleasure to join you today. I've been actually looking forward to this conversation, and I'm excited to share my insights with you and your listeners. I really appreciate the opportunity to dive into topics that I'm so passionate about and to be a part of the thoughtful discussions you bring to the table through this platform. So thank you so much.
Can you tell us about your journey into strategic advisement and what inspired you to focus on community building and cultural transformation?
This is actually in line with the passion. So that's a great start. Thank you for this question. My journey into strategic advisory began in the performing arts, where I work with renowned artists and organizations. Early on, I realized that the ecosystem that supports artists are important, such as audiences, collaborators, and institutions. So this sparked my passion for community building. Mm-hmm. And over time, my work expanded beyond the arts to technology and retail industries, where the principles of engagement and storytelling are equally powerful. The turning point was seeing how the right strategies could shape not just organizations, but entire cultures. For example, by building communities around artistic endeavors or social causes, I saw the transformative impact these efforts had on people's lives. So it wasn't just about business growth. It was about creating spaces for people to connect, to reflect, and act on shared values.
Well, that's very interesting. You're the first person I know which works in this field and is so passionate about.
Thank you.
How have your experiences worked in diverse industries such as performing arts, technology, and retail shaped your approach to strategic guidance?
Yeah, actually, I've been working in diverse industries. Like, each industry taught me to think differently about strategy. In performing arts, the focus is on creating emotional resonance, whether it's through a concert or a brand story or a community campaign. Technology, on the other hand, is all about scalability and innovation. So it taught me how to harness tools like AI to amplify the impact of the work we are doing. The retail brought in the importance of customer experience and brand loyalty. The challenge was to create an emotional connection with customers in a highly competitive space. So I found out that by blending these lessons, like arts storytelling, technology's efficiency, and retail's customer focus, I've developed a unique approach that is both innovative and deeply human-centered.
I mean, you've worked with renowned artists like Fazil Say and organizations such as Yamaha Music Europe. How do you balance creativity and business strategy in your work with artists and brands?
It's a great journey to work with these brands and artists and organizations. It's really exciting to work with them. Balancing creativity and strategy is totally about creating a dialogue between the two, actually. For example, while working with artists, I focused on amplifying their artistic voice through community engagement and international outreach without diluting their creative integrity, by the way, so they can still be themselves. With organizations and companies, it was about fostering partnerships that aligned with their brand while giving artists the freedom to express themselves authentically. I see creativity as the electricity. If we are going to create an example from our times, I see creativity as the electricity and the strategy as the vehicle. So it's not about compromising one for the other, but about making them work together. So the ultimate goal is to create something that resonates with audiences while being sustainable for the artists or brands. So I also experienced this in your work as well. So congratulations for everything you are doing. So I believe you also have a great blend there where you really talk from the heart to your audience.
Thank you so much. I think the key word for today is authenticity, perhaps.
Authenticity, talking from the heart, being genuine, being yourself, while creating a value, adding a value to the community. So there are so many keywords actually to focus on. But yeah, you are right. Totally agree with you.
Yeah, but thank you. That's the moment to thank you officially
Pleasure.
for everything you're doing and what you've been doing for me and the work we're continuously putting together.
Pleasure. Always a pleasure.
How do you approach fostering cultural transformation, and what key challenges have you faced in creating open and reflective community cultures?
Cultural transformation is about making people feel seen and heard. And I always start by understanding the community's values, needs, and pain points. For instance, in one project, we worked with a traditional organization transitioning into a more inclusive model. So it involved deep listening sessions, creating platforms for dialogue, and designing initiatives that reflected those insights. The biggest challenge is resistance to change. Of course, this is always the topic. People are often wary of new ideas, especially if they disrupt long-standing traditions. So overcoming this requires trust building and patience. One way I address this is by demonstrating quick and tangible wins early in the process. So it shows stakeholders that change can bring value without threatening their identity. So this is also what you are doing. I really want to give these examples. These are the real stuff that what you are doing in your work as well. So you are really trying to create this quick wins without losing any value. So we never change our perspective. We never lose our artistic values. You always be yourself. So we are not just trying to get attention, but we are just trying to connect with people. And in some cases, you really did a great success there as well. So I'm really happy about it. I mean, you don't really need to put a cat on the piano to get million views, but you really added value to these people's lives. So once again, you are doing this great. So this is what we are trying to convey to other artists and organizations as well.
But Erin, tell me, the fear of change, does this come from organizations or people who are head of them, or also coming from audiences?
Actually, both. So we are living in a hybrid era right now, where there are some disruptive strategies going on. Like what we are doing is totally disruptive. It's totally unorthodox. It's not what all the mainstream populations are doing. And the reason why we are doing is like our motivation is different than others. So it's not only creating a revenue or profit for the company, for the artist, for the organization, for the holding. But the only thing is to add a value. So how to solve a problem in the society, like with music, with other products that we can think of. I mean, these are all actually connecting to the end user, to the audience at some point. And we really need to create this special bond with these people. So that's why this tradition, disrupting the long-standing traditions, is a really key point where we need to be brave enough to create a new kind of communication since times are changing. So that's why, yeah, so resistance is there, but it's not only about the person who is running the business, but it's actually in the company culture. So I believe we need to change the company culture and reflect it to everybody who is working within the organization, or if we are talking to the audiences or others. Because audience might not request a contemporary piece, but they are looking to listen to classical pieces. But we need to nurture them at some point as as an organization, and we need to tell them that it's wonderful to listen to this younger artists and the new music. So they're trying to do something. So they will not be getting understood in their times anyway. So that's why we really need to work in every aspect to, get the society to the level that they don't have a resistance for the change.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we are living times where everything is changing and fast.
Yeah.
And you remember we've been talking for years now, but when was this a reality that concert invitations are coming through Instagram? In the past, this would have never been something to happen, right? I mean,
Yeah.
nobody would have trusted such an invitation, and it wouldn't have been the case. But today, social media and community management and everything we're talking about, this translates also into sold performances and new audiences.
Exactly. Agree.
As a guest lecturer at institutions like Columbia University, what's your main message to younger audiences about strategic advisement and innovation?
Yeah, when I'm in the educational space, my central message is that strategy isn't just about solving problems. It's about envisioning what's possible. So I encourage students to think beyond traditional frameworks and challenge assumptions. For example, I often share case studies where unconventional strategies like using AI in the community management or blending AI in community building with global campaigns using sociological parameters, which have led us to reach our goals, for example. I also emphasize the importance of empathy. Whether you are advising an artist or a Fortune 500 company, understanding the human element is what makes a strategy impactful.
And what advice would you give to students or emerging professionals looking to make a mark in strategic advisement or community management?
First, they have to master the basics, like understanding human behavior, understanding market dynamics, understanding the storytelling. But equally important is to stay adaptable. The world is changing rapidly, and the best strategies are the ones that evolve with it. One piece of advice I always give is to build genuine relationships. So, community management and strategic advisory aren't about transactions. I mean, they are about trust. So, whether you are working with a local artist or a global brand, investing in such authentic connections will always pay off.
So true. Aaron, looking back at your journey, what do you consider your greatest accomplishment, and what's next for you in achieving your broader vision?
I mean, this is all about
We have time.
dreams. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it would be building a global community around artists' work. So it's a testament to how art can bring people together regardless of their background. So looking ahead, I'm focusing on expanding cultural transformation initiatives in developing regions. I believe that by creating inclusive and reflective communities can really tackle some of society's most pressing challenges, whether it's social inequality or lack of transparency in the governance. So in the light of these projects, I think we are going to get to the point where we are really creating an impact. So I hope our impact is going to get much bigger and becomes a huge thing where we will really see the results in our lifespan.
I know that you always dream big, and that's something I admire so much because it's very, very inspirational.
Thank you.
What are the ethical considerations you take into account when using AI technologies, especially in fields like the performing arts and marketing?
Yeah, so lately, as you would know, I'm also working in this AI project. Of course, as a responsible AI fellow, ethics in AI is absolutely central to how I approach its use in any field, whether it's the performing arts or community management. First and foremost, transparency is really critical for me. In marketing, for example, I ensure that audiences are aware when AI-generated content is being used, that we can tag it on Instagram and everywhere. It's essential that consumers can trust the brand and feel confident that they are engaging with content that aligns with their values, even if it's partially produced by AI. So hidden use of AI can undermine this trust and create a disconnection between brands and their audiences. So that's the first part. The second part is like ownership and attribution is also coming to play, especially in creative fields like the performing arts. If an AI tool contributes to the creation of a visual, the question arises, like who owns that work? The artist, the developers of the AI, or both? Like addressing these questions proactively is vital to ensuring fairness, especially in an industry where intellectual property rights are so important. Then there is the issue of bias, which is a systemic challenge in AI technologies. AI is only as good as the data it's trained on. So, and if that data lacks respect to the copyright owners, if it lacks diversity, the results will reflect those gaps. In marketing, an AI that has been trained on data from one demographic may struggle to create meaningful or accurate content for another. So ensuring diversity in training data and auditing AI outputs regularly are non-negotiable steps in my process, always. And finally, I believe in keeping AI as a collaborative partner rather than a replacement for human creativity or decision making. So AI is a powerful tool, of course, but it lacks the emotional depth and context and ethical judgment that humans bring to the table. So it's about using AI to enhance human capabilities, I mean, not replacing them. So by maintaining this balance and embedding ethical practices into every stage of development and deployment, I ensure that AI is used responsibly and remains a force for innovation rather than a source of harm. So AI has a big space in our lives. And then I think we need to make, like, use it responsibly and make a good use of it.
Yeah, no, I was thinking that when we've met, AI was quite at the beginning, and how amazing this has developed, and how one can really use it creatively. And I'm always thinking about your very aesthetical reels and posts you're doing. Yeah, this is quite extraordinary.
I really appreciate you like them. I mean, it's really important for me as such an artist like yourself. If you like them, I'm really, really happy about it. And then, as you can see there as well, so I'm trying to avoid making it like Van Gogh or something like that, or using any other artistic approach where we only use it as a tool where we actually combine styles to create our unique outputs. So we have concepts and monthly concepts and special dedicated content for some of the events and special dates or world premieres and everything. But I'm really glad that you like them.
Oh, I love them. I
Sure.
mean, I think if I would see somebody else's work, I would definitely recognize your print.
Wow. Wow.
It's a special voice, and it's just my true meaning that I really like everything you're doing.
Glad to hear that.
Eren, could you share an example of how you've applied AI in a project and what lessons you learned from that experience, or maybe what you didn't like or how this has evolved.
Absolutely. One of the most exciting examples of applying AI in my work was during a digital campaign for a global brand. And the challenge was to better understand the audience's diverse preferences and create content that resonated deeply with different segments of their fan base. We turned to AI to analyze big amounts of data, ranging from listening habits and engagement patterns to digital media interactions. So the AI did an incredible job of segmenting the audience into microgroups,
Wow.
each with its own distinct characteristics. For example, it identified fans who engaged more with live performance clips versus those who preferred behind-the-scenes content or interactive experiences. So this allowed us to tailor content specifically to the preferences of each group. And these results were remarkable. Engagement rate soared and the conversation rates improved, and the brand's relationship with its audience became more personalized and meaningful at the
Wow.
end of this. But what stood out most was a critical lesson where AI is still a tool here, not a replacement for human creativity. So while the AI provided valuable insights, it was the creative team that interpreted those insights and turn them into emotionally resonant content, right? So you need the human touch there. For instance, the AI might tell us that one segment is more interested in nostalgia, but it takes human understanding to translate that into a meaningful campaign, such as revisiting iconic songs or collaborating with artists who evoke a sense of history. So another key takeaway was the importance of context. So AI can only analyze the data it's given, and without the context of cultural nuances or the brand's long-term vision, it can fall short. For this reason, the best results came when we combined AI-driven data with our own creative strategic thinking. So this project not only demonstrated the immense potential of AI to amplify impact, but also underscored the importance of collaboration between technology and human expertise. So by striking the right balance, we created a campaign that felt authentic, once again, this word, and innovative and deeply connected to the audience. So several examples. One of the significant ones is, of course, the sign on the road, which has all of these dynamics in it.
It's fabulous. I'd so much love to know what you're typing, what you're asking AI to do, because I think this is also a key factor, but most of us don't know how to use it.
Actually, it's not that difficult nowadays because, I mean, back in time, maybe 2 or 3 years before, or even last year, you had to write complicated prompts and some parameters and everything. But now it's really easy with the new interfaces. So it's AI, you know, like it understands whatever you write. So you don't need complicated prompts to create images or something. But when you want to get creative, you of course need to know the these nuances, but not only learning the tool itself, but maybe you tried Alexandra before. I mean, it's very easy to create a train or a realistic train or a cartoon train. So you can just write this and it just comes up. But if you want to create something really, really unique, then you need to insert some ideas, some more ideas, and some different perspectives. And this is not only about using the tool. I think it's because of your creativity, how you understand the world, how universal you are thinking, or what kind of issues you are experiencing in our lives, we are experiencing in our lives. Like there are wars happening, economic problems, and then the pandemics and this kind of stuff. So that's why I think we really need to reflect and bring some happiness or bring some joy, some smoothness to people's lives. So that's why you need to combine this kind of ideas and feelings with the tool itself, and then it brings something wonderful.
Have you ever considered like organizing a course for people who would be interested in knowing the fine tune?
Yeah, actually, I'm already making workshops around this at Harvard Business School, Boston chapter, Istanbul chapter, New York chapter. Now we are going to make 3 more events. So it's going great. I mean, meeting with these younger people and talk about what's our perspective on that. Because, yeah, I mean, still, actually, we have been talking about the same thing. I mean, so sorry about this, but I've been talking about the same thing, which is like, think different, right? Like
Yes.
it's all of those things I'm saying, they actually serve to that purpose, like how to think different, how to be unique and convey your message in the most artistic way. This is how I think about it.
Well, this brings me to the next question, which would be, what advice would you give to organizations looking to integrate AI into their operations while maintaining authenticity and creativity?
Yeah, I mean, the best start would be the small start. Like, start small, use AI to enhance specific processes like content creation or audience engagement rather than trying to overhaul everything at once. Always keep the human touch. AI should support your team, not replace them. So, finally, be transparent with your audience about how AI is being used because, you know, as we said before, authenticity is the key to building trust.
And Aaron, the last one, looking
Yeah.
forward, how do you see AI shaping industries like performing arts, technology, and retail in the next 5 to 10 years and beyond?
I'm not a magician or, you know, fortune teller to tell, I mean, what's
My
gonna
master of
happen
your
in
vision.
the I mean, thank you so much. That's very kind of you. I mean, no one knows what will future bring, but of course, when we have some visions about how it can be shaped, how it's shaping in the future. So I think this is much better to think about it from that perspective. So when we think like that, generative AI will likely become a creative partner across industries. In performing arts, we'll see immersive experiences where AI helps compose music or design visuals in real time. So
Yeah.
not only that you write it, but just it will do it in real time. So this is really the next step. And we will have the AI agents, which are already here, which can automate the whole process and doesn't even need you to write prompts to do something. You just automate stuff and it takes care of it. But I don't know if it's going to be getting out of control. But for now, let's look at it from the good side. So technology will continue to push boundaries in the next year, with AI playing a central role in innovation and problem solving, of course. And also retail, on the other hand, will move toward hyper-personalization. So AI will enable brands to create bespoke shopping experiences for every customer. The challenge will be to balance automation with human interaction. So ensuring that these advancements feel personal, so not mathematical at all. It's very exciting what's going on. There will be great stuff coming up, and then we need to adapt. So as a summary, what we have been discussing here, it's thinking different, adapting, marching with the times. So it would be wonderful to stay on track and then follow all of these advancements and then look at it from the good side and then use it for a more efficient process in your lives, in your work, in your personal lives as well. Of course, keeping it in control would be wonderful. So we are looking forward to that as well from the big tech companies.
Well, Aaron, there's nothing much to be added after this. It's like you did talk like a magician, so I'm looking forward to the future. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey today. Heartfelt thank you for sharing your time, expertise, and invaluable insights.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to have this discussion with you. I talked a lot, actually. So thank you so much for giving me the microphone. I really enjoyed this. So I hope everybody gonna get value added to their lives.
That brings us to the end of this inspiring conversation. I hope you found a fresh perspective and something to take with you. If you haven't already, make sure to follow Piano Fortissimo podcast on Apple and Spotify and all social media platforms, or Alexandra Siloča, and join the conversation on there. Your support and feedback means the world. Thank you for listening, and until next time, keep the music alive. Thanks for listening. This was Alexandra Siloča from Piano Fortissimo. Don't forget to subscribe, share with fellow music enthusiasts, follow us on your favorite social media, and most importantly, worry less and let the music flow.